August 3rd, 2015. It was early Monday morning, and I sat in the back of a van with Andy, Grayson, Emerson, and Casey. We were riding along the road, the bumpy roads of the Western Highway, on our way to Belmopan Baptist Church for the first day of Vacation Bible School. The one thought that was running through my mind was that I really wanted to meet the friends that I had seen 2 years ago. And so once we arrived to Belmopan Baptist Church, we began to unload the van and set up our stations. We had Bible, recreation, arts and crafts, and music. So after we finished setting up, we introduced ourselves to the Belizean youth, and that's when I began keeping an eye out for any familiar faces. But at first, I didn't see any. So I thought to myself, you know, it's the first day of Vacation Bible School, so if they're not there today, they might come back later on in the week, because normally how Bible school goes in Belize is that after the first day, the children return to their homes filled with excitement, telling their friends and family how awesome Bible school was, and the next day they bring their friends and family, and then the next day their friends and family bring more friends and family, and so on. So moments before we began opening celebration, a young boy and his sister walked in to the church. Whenever he saw me, he immediately smiled as if he had recognized me, but his face only looked familiar. Luckily, I had the photos from my previous trip to Belize on my camera, so I pulled up a picture of a young boy that I had made friends with named Ethan. And I looked at the picture and looked at the boy, and I couldn't tell if they were the same person. So I pulled over Grayson first and then Andy, and I asked them as well, but neither of them could identify him 100% if it was the same person. So I decided to wait until he came to the Bible classroom. And that day, the first day, we talked about baby Moses in the Bible station. So after our skit on baby Moses, we sang some silly songs, and then I approached the boy and I asked him his name. He looked at me and smiled and said, "My name's Ethan, just like yours." And I immediately realized that this was the friend I'd made, so I began to catch up, asking him how he was, how his year had gone, how his summer was going, and he began to tell me a story. He told me that after we left Belize the last time, he was a little sad, but he was looking forward to seeing me again and to being in Bible school once more. And he thought we were coming back the next summer, but we go to Belize every other year. So whenever we didn't show up the next summer, he was a little disappointed, but he kept his hopes held high. And then this past summer, we returned to Belize and we got to see each other again. And this experience was definitely one of the highlights of my trip. It really allowed me to see how powerful of an impact that we had on the children of Belize. But I wouldn't have had this experience if it weren't for our youth group. So I'm going to take it back to the beginning of my experience. 7 years ago, I was ending my fifth grade year. And for those of you who knew me at the time, I was very quiet and very shy, especially around people I didn't know. And so the thought of joining the youth group was very scary for me. But my parents didn't want me to miss out on any opportunities, especially being a part of our youth group. So they did everything in their power to convince me. And my mom told me to just go to the youth kickoff on Saturday at Camp Kiwanis. And if I didn't like it, then I wouldn't have to go back, which wasn't the most honest statement she's ever told me. But and actually, a couple weeks ago, I was talking to Ray, and I got to hear a second side to the story. So apparently, a couple of days before the youth kickoff, my mom called Ray, and she told him that I would be coming, but that I'd probably not like it, and I probably would want to leave early, and if that was so, to just call her, and she'd come pick me up early. But I did stay the entire time. There's just something about joining a group of your peers at that age that might seem a little scary at first. Whether you're deathly shy like I was, or maybe you have a fear that you just won't fit in with others, or you just don't think you'll like it. A couple weeks ago, we held the Cotillion Grand Ball for the middle school, and as a senior in high school, I was the instructor for both middle school and high school. And so for the middle school, we broke them up into two groups, sixth grade and then the seventh and eighth grade. And with the sixth grade, they had 29 youth compared to the 100 and some seventh and eighth graders. And of the 29, there were 4 boys and 24 girls. So needless to say, as an instructor, I got to dance quite a lot that day. And we have quite a few of our youth who were in the middle school cotillion. And one of the youth that I got the opportunity to dance with was Waverly, and she's not here today. But as we were dancing, I asked her what her thoughts were about youth and how she liked it. And she told me that at first she didn't think she would like it, but she went to a couple of the Sunday night youths, and she came to find herself loving being a part of our youth group. And another example is I was talking to Grayson last week, and I asked him what his initial thoughts were before he joined the youth group. And he told me that he was just deathly terrified because at the time he saw himself as socially awkward and he just didn't think he would fit in with us. But things worked out. And I guess at first, looking at it, it might seem a little scary, but what most people realize and what I realized is that our youth group is actually a very welcoming youth group. So going back to that very first night of the youth kickoff, my very first night at youth, one of the first youth that I got to talk to after Ray walked me inside was Austin Barrier. And Austin Barrier is probably one of the nicest, most friendly people that I'd ever met, but at the time I didn't know him. And Austin is also very tall. And so being very small sixth grader and seeing him walk up and tower over me, I was just scared. But he immediately introduced himself and welcomed me into the youth group and then brought me other to the other youth, introduced me to them, and they immediately invited me in to whatever they were doing. And so I felt very welcomed. And although it took me a few months to really feel completely comfortable being around the youth, I still was shy, but I still loved every part about being in the youth group. I loved the Wednesday night youth. I loved the Sunday night youth. I loved going on youth retreats. I loved going to Passport. And I loved working on mission projects. But in middle school, I didn't completely understand the true meaning of being a part of our youth group. I just saw it as a time to have fun while also worshiping God. It wasn't until I reached high school that I saw the bigger picture. Towards the end of middle school, I started to realize that there was more to our youth group than what I'd originally seen. By the time I entered high school, I started focusing more on the lessons that we learned at youth on Sunday nights and in Sunday school. We started learning in series. For example, in Sunday school, our teacher Kyle would go over books at a time. I remember one of the main books we went over, two books actually, was 1 and 2 Samuel. We spent quite a few Sundays going over those two books. And we did the same at youth on Sunday nights. We'd go over a series, so it would take a couple Sunday nights. And not only was I more focused on learning, but there was something inside of me that really wanted to take what I was learning and apply it to my life and in our community. I remember the very first community service project that I worked on outside of youth was back in 8th grade. At youth on one Sunday night, Ray and Carol showed us this video. And in the video, there was a young boy about my age who had wanted to make a difference in his community, so he started running canned food drives to help collect food for the people in need in his community. And after watching the video, myself as well as Andy felt inspired to do something. Going back to the New Testament scripture that Ty read for us a few minutes ago, Paul is telling us that the reason why we labor and strive is because we put our faith in God. And he's also, in the perspective of the youth, telling us that we shouldn't be discouraged and we shouldn't be just looked down on because of our age, but instead we should lead by example and we should lead in the way we speak, in our conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Yes, Andy and I were young at that time, but we didn't want to let that stop us from doing what we felt that we needed to do. So throughout the week, we started thinking of ideas and started coming up with different ways we could make a change in our community, and we thought it was best if we would consult Ray. So we pulled Ray over and at the next Sunday night and asked him what we could do, and Ray immediately linked us with the backpack program, which is led through the communities and schools. And so Andy and I started collecting school supplies for the backpack program. But that was just the beginning of my calling and our calling. By high school, I'd almost grown out of my shyness, and I began to see youth group as a resource for applying God's word and teachings into the world. And my main focus in youth shifted more towards the word and the faith, while all of the fun just happened to come in the package. During the school year, we would learn about various themes throughout the Bible, and we'd also work on different mission projects throughout the school year. And by the time summer came, we would take all of the things that we learned and apply it to our mission trips to Passport and Belize. As Andy and Austin were talking about for Passport and Bliss, there are two opportunities for us to really put everything aside and step outside of our daily schedules. We aren't faced with the distractions of the social media world and electronics, and we have the chance to come closer to God, to strengthen bonds with each other, and to help communities abroad. One of the vital and focal points of my youth journey occurred on my fifth mission trip to Passport. I've been on, this will be sixth this summer, and so on this fifth mission trip, this was the same year that we were graduating quite a few youth in our youth group. So this was the last time they'd participate in youth as members. These youth were leaders, and whether they knew it or not, they were role models to us. The year before, we had already graduated a number of leaders, and so this year, it was really taking out the leaders who had stepped up and the structure of our youth group, because after that year, we were severely low in numbers. These youth were those who welcomed me in my sixth grade year and made me feel a part of the family. They were role models and they led by example. So we made the most out of every second of that Passport mission trip. During this time when we were enjoying fellowship with each other and coming closer to God, I felt a calling. I felt something. It was something similar to what I had felt back in eighth grade, but it was stronger. Going back to the Old Testament scripture that Caroline read for us in Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah experienced something incredible. The same year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, lifted high and above all, and it was in the temple. And above the temple, a multitude of seraphims were standing, calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord Almighty is holy. His glory fills the world." The seraphims were flying around the temple, and after seeing them and hearing what they had said, Isaiah became astonished. Despite his sinful ways and the sinful ways of the people that he lived amongst, Isaiah had witnessed the Lord. Then one of the seraphim flew down to him and forgave him of his sins. Then following that, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord calling out, saying, "Whom shall I send?" Isaiah faithfully volunteered, saying, "Here am I, send me." Now, although while we were at Passport, a seraphim did not fly down to me, forgiving me of my sins, and I did not hear the voice of the Lord calling out for a messenger, but I did feel a calling, and I feel Andy felt a calling too, because one night after our devotions for our group, Andy and I were talking, and it was kind of interesting because we both brought up the same thing, that we just felt like we wanted to take what we were doing at Passport and bring it back to our community. So we began talking, and we thought, as we had done back in eighth grade, that'd be best to talk to Ray once more. And so after we had talked to Ray a little bit, we started making up ideas of what we could do in our community, and then we came home. And since then, we have been leaders, and we have reserved time to volunteer in our community. I feel that we have done well to utilize our church as a resource for connections that have led to opportunities through our members. A couple examples, when Whitney was the executive director of the Civic Center, Andy and I spent a well majority of my summer before junior year volunteering at the Civic Center. And another example, Ray Nance works at Carolina Cancer Services, and we have volunteered at the Carolina Cancer Services quite a lot. Also, I feel that this year in youth, we did a great job working on mission projects. We took on three main mission projects, and but there was a much bigger picture to just the mission project. The three nonprofit organizations that we focused around were the Lexington Housing CDC, Carolina Cancer Services, and Pastor's Pantry. And so what we would do is the first Sunday night in the cycle, we'd have a member of that agency come and enlighten us about what that agency did, who they helped in our community, and what the need was in our community. And then we spent a number of Sunday nights learning about the need that that agency provided in relation to the Bible, and then we would perform a mission project. And I feel that looking back, the mission projects got bigger and bigger and bigger. At first, with the Lexington Housing CDC, I interned there, and in the fall, we all had super busy schedules, but Del Frank volunteered to take on the first leg of building a ramp for an elderly woman who had trouble walking upstairs. And so in the coming weeks, a couple of us are going to go and finish off that as well as stain it. And then the second one was with Carolina Cancer Services. So that mission project, we held a Christmas party for the cancer patients. And that was a very powerful experience, just sitting down with them, talking to them, and hearing their stories. It was amazing. And the final was with Pastor's Pantry. We had a scavenger hunt to collect food, and members of this congregation volunteered to donate and use their houses for us to come for the scavenger hunt. And I believe you said it was over 400 pounds of food?
800.
Over 800 pounds of food were collected in one night. So that was amazing. And so looking back on my youth experience as a whole, I really have come a long way from the beginning. At the beginning, I would never have imagined being at the place I am today, being the person I am today. This youth group has allowed me to develop as an individual, to form and strengthen lifelong friendships, to strengthen my faith and spirituality, to serve our community and communities abroad, and to form a stronger relationship with God. I wouldn't be the person that I am today if it weren't for my family, my youth family, this church family, and for God. Our current and past youth leaders do so much for us. We really have a wonderful youth group, but our youth group is led by amazing leaders. These people set aside their time to go with us on mission trips, to worship with us, and to teach us about God. Whether they know it or not, they have been our role models, and we have looked up to them every step of the way. We are so very thankful for everything that they have done to us, and we are also so very thankful that for what this congregation has done for us, for supporting us, for financing some of our mission trips, and for just being there with us every step of the way. And then also, each individual in our youth group is on their own unique path in life. We are supported by each other, and we are guided by God. Our paths cross, and some overlap, as we develop our own unique personalities. Some of us are further ahead on our paths, such as the seniors this year are about to head off to college in the coming months, while others are just beginning their personal journeys with this youth group. To me, this youth group is a second family, my second family. We fellowship together, we worship together, we're here for each other, and we go out to glorify God and to help communities. Today I've given the account of my personal journey in this youth group, but it is only just an example of how God has crafted me into the person that I am today, and how God has crafted the youth to be the people that they are today. For in the bulb, there's a flower, in the seed, an apple tree, in cocoons, a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.